Welcome to it. We are back with the current review, episode number 23. We have been here for a while now, 23 episodes. That means it's what, like almost 4 months? Just over 4 months. Yeah, we've been at it quite a while. Consistent. Although last week I wasn't here, I was you know, I was watching the show. I saw that my brother did a very good job, Teboho Kotse from the Answered podcast. My name is Thompson Ratu, sometimes known as TT Chairman. I am being joined today by the Provincial Secretary of the Economic Freedom Fighters, Ntate Madifane Msimanga, otherwise known as Busang. Is that a general name you are referred to when PS Busang?
People will give you names. So I've accepted it's Musa Wangu. And then people decided to say Busang, and then I can't at every time try to correct. If they are comfortable with Busang, it's fine. Life goes on.
You say the original name is what? Musa Wangu. Or the original name is Musa Wangu.
Akirka Soto Bare Nkui Musa. Wale, kamo ho ki kiling humble gating, ki humble jolo gayo na yabona ginale Musa jolo gayo.
A humble fighter.
Yeah.
No, That's reassuring to know. You guys are working this coming weekend, and it must be like a big one for you in particular, because the work to be of national importance in the EFF is coming to your province. The EFF is coming to your province, the Free State. What are you guys doing this weekend?
No, we're busy preparing for manifesto rally, which is going to be held in Herigwala multi-purpose, to be addressed by the Commander-in-Chief, the incoming President of South Africa. So we'll be here in Free State on the 17th, when at 12 o'clock.
What is the significance of having this thing happening at in Metsimaholo? Is it perhaps because that municipality is one of the very few in the country that you ever had the opportunity to govern or to help govern?
Partly it's because of those reasons you are mentioning, but more than anything, people of Metsimaholo have been receiving EFF well. Even at those days when we had doubting Thomas's, people of Metsimaholo never doubted EFF. You'd remember the first rally of the EFF was in Sebokeng, second rally the same day was in Sasolburg. So EFF and EFF, when it comes to Metsimaholo, Metsimaholo has always occupied a very special place within the ranks and files of the EFF. Because when it was tough, these are people who opened their stadium to say, we are ready to welcome, to receive you, Commander-in-Chief. We want to hear the message of economic freedom in our lifetime. We want to hear, what are you saying? And then they responded to the clarion call. That's why Metsimaholo, in terms of numbers, is one of those municipalities where we got a huge number of votes.
And because now we're dealing with elections, and in your manifesto launched in Durban past few weeks, the EFF put land, jobs, the energy crisis at the forefront of the manifesto. Could you detail how EFF plans to address these issues and the practicality of the ambitious goals that you guys have?
Thanks a lot. Let me just start with jobs. I want to make a practical, simple example. Right now, we are consuming about billion chickens as a country. And 30 million of those chickens are produced in South Africa yearly. 970 million chickens comes from Brazil, America, Israel, and other countries are the ones who are supplying us with chicken. And when you consume 970 million chickens from outside, it means we are creating employment outside South Africa. So that market needs to be protected so that our people can benefit out of that market. So it's practical, it's possible, it can be done. I think I'm making sense.
You are, but how are you going to shift that balance in it? Let's talk about the chicken you're talking about. Already about 30, only 30% comes from South Africa. How are you going to tilt the scale such that you have more chicken coming from South Africa than it does from outside?
No, look, our industries needs to be protected. We need to protect that industry through tariffs so that we increase tariffs from chickens that are coming from outside so that they become more expensive. And by so to found in South Africa, which are produced in South Africa, so we'll be able to consume them because they will be much lesser. That's how you protect your industries. That's what we must do as far as that is concerned, because everyone eats chicken. In almost every house, it's chicken. So we eat chicken on daily. We need to protect that market so that we are able to create jobs in South Africa. And it's possible, it's not expensive. Here in Free State, when you go to Kwakwa, Ntate Mopedi left many factories there that just need to be resuscitated. Botshabelo the same. So it's possible, my brother. The other thing that you must look into in the main, what are the things that we are using on daily basis? One of those things is vast labs. I just want to make practical example because you said it must be practical.
Yes.
Vast labs. Every household has vast lab. Everyone has vast lab. Even those whom we are saying these ones are poor. But if there's anything that person can claim ownership to, it's a vast lab. So it shows how huge a vast lab market is. So if you produce vast labs, you'll be able to really sell them here in the province and in other provinces. And there are other things, Shem, that we can produce. For instance, I don't understand why are we continuing to import toothpicks from China. Go and check toothpicks that you are buying from these retailers. Are made in China. So it's possible to produce toothpicks. It's not something that exercise that cannot be done. We have trees. We can produce toothpicks in abundance and sell them to the market. We can see that there's a market for toothpicks. Vast forms, you name them. These things that you are using on daily basis, these are things that in the main that can create jobs for South Africans. But the other thing that we must look into is to nationalize mines so that we have control and ownership of mines. If we have control and ownership of mines, our diamond, our platinum, your gold, coal, those mineral resources, we must be able to beneficiate out of some of those minerals. Let me make an example with diamond. It cannot be that we export our diamond as raw as it is to other countries like China, India, and other big markets that were importing. After importing to China, in fact, our diamond gets polished in India, and it creates jobs in India, because those who are polishing our diamond in India, those who are cutting our diamond in India, by so doing, by cutting and polishing, it's work on its own, it's jobs on its own. But these are jobs that can be created here in South Africa. It's not difficult to polish and cut diamond. So we must beneficiate it so that our people can be able to really get jobs out of it. So there are a number of things, my brother, that we can talk, me and you, up until the next day when we talk about issue of job creation. There are so many things. But when you go to Qwaqwa, simple, they had a shoe company which was called, used to be called Reva, which was producing school shoes. So it shouldn't be difficult to protect that market and supply school shoes in Free State through, of course, assistance of the provincial government and local government, so that we're able to create more jobs. You can create more jobs, including uniforms. I don't understand why should it be a challenge to produce school uniforms at a large scale, at a huge scale, and then the market should be Free State. But at the center should be our people who are accessing that market. So there are so many things. Qwaqwa used to export asparagus to Japan, and that thing used to create a lot of jobs in Qwaqwa. So we must check some of these things to say, where have we gone wrong, and what is possible, what is not possible. We have solutions, and even this what you call universities must be able to assist us with more research and check what can we produce here and how can we produce it. But some of these things, they just need us to really think deep. But solutions are within our fingertips. We can be able to really produce, to create number of jobs. Not this thing of public works, where expanded public will be told that we have created jobs with CWP, to say you created 280,000 jobs with CWP, of which by then that Demoped used to call them Mansatlal, was not taking that thing really as a job that you can say I've created jobs. Even that EPWP is now losing a meaning. The EPWP, its objective was to ensure that we take people, we give them stipend, but at the very same time, we create exit opportunities, having given those people skills so that they can be able to be relevant in their workplace. But it's no longer happening in that fashion. People are sweeping all over here. They are doing sweeping. So what kind of a skill that we are transferring or sweeping? So it's a problem. And then when we talk about land, my brother, we need to expropriate land without compensation for equal distribution. Land is a need more than the ruling party can accept. But the mere fact that we had an incident where the ruling party was leading occupation of unoccupied land there in Lorry Park, to Mbalula's home, it shows the pressure and the necessity of redistributing land without compensation. Because ANC promised that it will distribute 30% of land by 2014, but now it's less than 10%, and we're in 2024. It shows that it will take more than 100 years with the pace that we are going. And then, you know, we called for economic freedom in our lifetime. Things must happen in our lifetime. So it just needs a decisive leadership. And people like saying investors will run away. Why don't they run away in China? Because that land in China is state-owned. You are using it there in China for 30 years. After 30 years, they take that factory, and then it becomes nationalized, becomes a property of China. And they don't complain. And that's where basically things are happening in China. Our these investors, they just need you to be decisive and be clear. You must be predictable and it must be known what you want. And so they are able to really see how do they maneuver within the provided environment to them.
Now, in terms of the job creation and the proposals that you are making, for this to happen, the private sector are those kind of people who are sort of risk averse, and they are, you know, they are scared of inheriting a lot of costs in terms of, you know, the kind of production that would be required compared to the cheap products that are coming from outside. Now, would you be prepared to propose a like a state manufacturing company in terms of these things that you're mentioning, especially when it comes to such things as beneficiating of natural resources?
Yes, we must basically do state-owned mining company, so that we are even able to protect our coal. It will serve as a solution, to load shedding. So we must create state-owned company. But more than anything, you must protect your industries using tariffs. You must increase tariffs so that you protect your local producers. But at the same time, you must use incentive. You must incentivize them. So to say, I will not pay water. As long as you hire so many people within our area, we'll cut your rates and taxes by this much if you create so many jobs, and those jobs are labor intensive. That's how other countries are doing this thing. So our problem in South Africa is that these quotas were basically, the leadership was basically integrated into this thing, and they're unable, they're absorbed by the system. They're not changing the system. The system has absorbed them. That's why it's so difficult to even change, even though they see their solutions within their tips. Let me just make last example as far as job creation is possible, is concerned. Yeah. I mean, we have Dinel, which is producing Rooifalk, that helicopter, this fighting helicopter, which is ranked number 7 in the world, Rooifalk. And if we can produce such a powerful flying machine of that magnitude, it should be possible to produce cars here and supply both South Africa and Africa as a continent. I don't see any reason why, as Free State, we can't talk with Dinel and produce cars. Isco, market for ArcelorMittal, but our industries must be protected. And you'll be able to swell the market, including even African market. It's possible. South Africa has a capacity, just that we are led by directionless, hopeless leadership.
Now, with power outages, Julius Malema has promised to end the energy crisis within 6 months if you guys are elected. Could you explain just how feasible this timeline is, and the steps that you guys would take to achieve that objective of ending load shedding within 6 months, if you like?
This thing is simple. It just needs decisive leadership. Just needs leadership that is not handled somewhere. Let me make an example. It had the power crisis, energy crisis, and it had the energy crisis. What they did, they went for flow regasification unit. Are these big ships? But those ships are power station. To just ship the power station from one country to the other. They shipped it to Germany and they plugged it to their grid. That's how they managed to survive impact which comes with Russia-Ukraine war. So they're saying, you go to Russia, you request a floating storage regasification unit. You go to Turkey, the same, China, the same. And then you plug to South African grid. And then you go for your maintenance. You maintain all these plants in a process. It will help to reduce the load that has been carried by these plants in a process. But at the very same time, you'll have managed to reduce our crisis. But in a long run, you need to move from your nuclear energy. Russia is just around the corner, is willing to supply us, to help us to have a nuclear energy plant, which of course will assist us to really deal with our crisis moving forward. But at the very same time, and then you will go for all these forms of renewable energies as a supplement to what you have done. And then what you must do, you must put people with necessary skills. It doesn't help to go for derater. Who has no clue about electricity? Who has no clue about engineering? That's why we are here. And so derater will be able to assist. While there are black people like Koko, Matsila Koko and Molefe, who managed in their term to really end this thing called load shedding. At some point in South Africa under President Jacob Zuma, we did not experience. There was a time where we ended up not longer experiencing load shedding. So it's possible this thing just needs decisive leadership. Even some scientists are agreeing with us that this thing is possible. It can be ended the way EFF is saying, just that we have a captured leadership which can't decide because they must go and please America at our expense. For heaven's sake, they want to get rid of coal and we must use coal because we have coal in abundance. We have 200 years to come of coal, using coal, the way the coal is so abundant in South Africa. So we must go for coal as part of assisting as far as solution towards issue of electricity is concerned. But at the center, state, all these things must be state-driven because private sector is not reliable, even if you allow them certain percentage to 30 to 40. But in the main, at the center should be state-driven because independent power producers are for profit maximization. Our people are going to suffer. What they know and pray and loyal to, it's only profit. So our people are going to suffer seriously if we're to follow independent power producers alone. So we must intervene decisively, so in the best interest of our people, who happens to be the motive force of the so-called National Democratic Revolution.
And talking about the IPPs, in your manifesto, you also state the plans to terminate contracts with these IPPs and also to, you know, to eliminate the historical debt. What impact do you foresee this having on the energy sector?
And our problem is current setup, the way things are happening under current setup. Not only IPPs, but also I want to deal with another issue as far as ending load shedding is concerned. You have these aluminium smelters who are using 800 megawatts. So we need to unplug them in a short run. We'll see these things. We need to really prioritize what needs to be prioritized. You can prioritize aluminium smelters while you fail to save lives. Because if you are saying human life is value of all values, as contained in the Bill of Rights, you must be able to prioritize hospitals, your clinics, and so forth. Because that's where you will be protecting human life. Under current setup, it will not work, my brother. We're not part of...
Sounds like we have lost the PS there. Was trying to make a point around the need to, in their view, the need to terminate contracts with IPPs and as well as like aluminium smelters in favor of, as he says, you know, human life, you know, prioritize such things as hospitals, clinics. I would assume even you know, police stations and so on. We'll you know, hear him out as he rejoins us. We are trying to get him back online. The EFF is about to have their manifesto launch this coming weekend in Sasolburg, like the provincial manifesto launch of the Free State. It is going to be held in Zamdena, Harry Kwala Multi People Center, starting from 12 o'clock, to be addressed by their commander in chief, Selo Chuges Malema. So the provincial secretary Ntatemo Simanga is talking to us about what to expect from that, and as we go on we'll sort of try to narrow this down to what this manifesto actually means for the people of the Free State and if they should vote, you know, for the EFF in the province of the Free State. I don't know if we're getting him back, but I do think that we had touched on a lot, but there is a lot that, you know, we need to talk about. He touched a lot on the land redistribution without compensation. We spoke about job creation. You know, I think we just have to get now the concluding remarks from the provincial secretary, Ntate Mosawanku. Malefane Musibanga, the provincial secretary of the EFF. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back as soon as we get in.